Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory to God. Well, there's no more wonderful thing than to be able to look into the Word of God. Hallelujah. I've really been spending a lot of time, especially going through the Word and reading, just going over things and going over things. God's intents and purposes have never changed for humanity, His desire. And no matter what's going on in this world and what seems to be happening, you know, in Hebrews 13:8 says, you know, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. He has not changed. Amen. Hallelujah. Situations may change. People may change. But Jesus never changes. He doesn't change what He does, how He acts. You'd sure think today, from a church world standpoint, even much of the church world, their viewpoints about things, they've changed a lot of things. But it isn't because God's changed. People have changed what they believe and what they think. We're going to go in today, we're talking about Jesus Christ the healer. Now, when I was at Raymond in school, we had a Christ the healer course was taught by Keith Moore. We had that's really good, but I'm not going through that. When the Lord's led me in this direction, there's things He really is dealing with is concerning the ministry of Jesus. If we're going to minister to people, number one, in the course that we were taught in school really dealt with the fact of the proofs of why we can know that God wants to heal. And I think most of us should know that. We need to get ourselves over into those areas of thinking about, you know, people have all kind of ideas and things out here about healing, you know, what God wants to do. There is a lot of fault. I'm going to just tell you this. The average ministry and the average church in the United States, the average one, and now you can go among all different groups, they don't believe that God really wants to heal all the time. They don't believe it. And why they do this, they're always based on the fact, well, they're sick people, so God must not want to heal. Because if God wanted to heal, everybody would get healed. And they never read the Bible. And that's the whole thing. People keep passing on experience rather than the Word. What they have heard somebody else say, people sit in church and they listen to their minister and they sit and listen to the minister tell them, it ain't even in the Bible what they're preaching. They're, you know, they have Jesus Christ has changed. He don't heal anymore. Jesus said, when you see me, you see the Father. You show me one time where Jesus said He didn't want to heal somebody. Doesn't exist. Yet, the majority of the church believes those days have gone by. That God don't do it anymore. We got born again and we lost the good stuff. Amen. It is just amazing. I'm just like this. If I hear a minister and a minister says around me, I will say straight to his face if he said, well, he don't believe this healing stuff today, and I'll look right at him and say, do you go to the doctor? I said, God makes people sick for a reason, you know? And I asked him, do you go to a doctor? I said, man, you're the worst sinner in the place. You're trying to get God's will off your life. Do you ever ask people, if you believe God wants you to be sick, you should never ask anybody to pray for you for healing. Because that's a fraud and a lie. If God wants you sick, you want to get God's will off your life? Well, see, people just lie all the time. They live a life that's a lie. Now, they don't see themselves as doing that, but that's what they're doing. You know, the world hears this nutty preaching. They hear it. And they think we're insane. I know it because I thought Christians were insane. Because that's the stuff I heard growing up. I heard these people, well, God wants you sick. And they were the first ones to run the doctor. They're the first one, church, pray for me, I'm having a problem, pray for me. No, I'm sorry, that's God's will in your life. Go croak, you know. In the will of God, well, it's the will of God. They're lying. They're so deceiving. And we need to understand this. We're living in a world of deception. The devil, and it is the devil, has brought doctrines into the church. And people are obsessed with it, with these thinkings. People are obsessed with perverted thinking. They can't even read the Bible. Many people can't even read the Bible and see the truth anymore. They can't see it. Why? Because they're obsessed with false doctrine. Their minds have been led over to really, they're dominated by false teaching. They're dominated, and false teaching didn't come from God.
Amen. Preach.
Where does this stuff come from? You got to deal with it. Everybody, you know, there's things that I look at over the years in scriptures, and I look at it, and boy, I'd say, man, that seems a little bit far out there. But I've just learned the thing. If God said it, it's so. I may not understand, but I'll tell you what, I ain't going to start questioning God. Because it's about, I've learned this, it's about me, it's about my understanding. God can teach me as long as I'm teachable. When I think I know, teaching stops. Amen. Teaching stops when you think you've arrived. We're going to look at today because we want to look at this dealing in areas of sickness, dealing with the works of the devil. And we need to understand this. These works of the devil don't just go from making people sick. It's making people believe wrong things so he can keep them sick. This is what he does. He perverts truth. You know, I can tell you that for sure. You know, you guys heard me tell the story when I had my heart attack. Well, the first voice that came to me told me I was going to die. Well, it wasn't God. If I would have had perverted thinking, I would have done what most people did and I wouldn't have gotten healed. But because I had put it into me and put it in me, the word, the first thing it rose up in me and I said, devil, you ain't got nothing to do with this. This is between me and my Father, this healing thing. It ain't about you. See, you can't believe because, you know, some voice, some supernatural voice. There's people, if they heard that voice, they said, see, well, God told me, you know, this was what he wanted for me, you know. See, if you get perverted, you get perverted thinking. See, the devil is a liar. And he's going to, you know, the one thing, he's going to lie to you about what the word says to get you to submit to what he wants. He's going to bring false doctrine. It doesn't mean he ain't going to ever say anything that's true. He'll tell you enough truth to choke you. He'll tell you enough to get his hands around your neck, do something to you. And we want to look at this as dealing with demonic powers. And we're going to look in the areas and with Jesus' healing ministry. We're going to find out some things. But dealing with demons, we need to understand this. The demons are involved. Sickness and disease came when man sinned. It came through sin. And it's in the earth. Sickness and disease is here. And it's operating in this earth. And really, there is a law in this earth about sickness and disease. It's transmission and lots of that stuff literally exists. It's because of sin and death and its operation in the earth. Now, we as born again, we have to operate. We have a choice. We can operate in the earthly system, which the average Christian will. They'll operate just in the earthly system. Or we can operate in God's system. You're going to have to operate. So we define out which one we want to take. Now we need to know this, that the fact that every sickness and every disease doesn't mean specifically that a demonic power is behind it enforcing it. But we're going to find out it can be. It can be an actual spirit is enforcing a sickness and disease. We know it from Jesus' ministry because we find out it's so. Now, but not in everyone. He didn't deal with everybody that he healed had a demonic problem. There wasn't everybody that had it, but there was ones who did. So we need to understand that this does exist. We want to talk about it a little more, you know, in this area is because people, you know, get under these things, evil spirits. Sometimes, you know, there's people, you need to understand this, who are not going to be healed until a demonic power is dealt with. They're not going to be. This is why you sometimes get people prayed for and prayed for and prayed for, and it ain't going to ever work. You can go to the best healing ministry you can go to, and it still won't work. The healing anointing doesn't definitely drive out a sickness, will drive out a demon. You're going to have to deal with a demon. I know that, like watching different people. I've over the years observed people in ministries and who have healing anointings, and I watch them in ministries, number different ones of them, and they'd come along to a person. Sometime they had to deal with a demon. Yet they had a healing anointing, but they didn't minister to them with the healing anointing. They cast the spirit out. See, we don't believe in devils today. You know, we're so darn educated. We're so smart. And we don't believe in them. And you know what? The devil loves that. Because he can get more and more into your life. Because the more that we believe he doesn't exist, the more opportunity he has to operate. So we want to find out, what do we do? Well, this is one thing you have to know. If you're going to go over an area and you really want to minister to people in the areas of healing and stuff, you got to learn to be led by the Spirit of God. Because you don't know if a demon's involved unless the Holy Spirit shows you or reveals it. You don't know. I've ministered to people already who had the same types of symptoms. And one of them, the Lord dealt with me, the person was dealing with a demonic problem. On the other, it was just a healing problem. See, you don't know. You can't go. These, you know, they people write books, and some, like I say, a lot of them are just good for burning. They do burn well. But they put this thing, if this is happening, then you do this, or this happens. If you could just do it like that, you don't need the Holy Ghost. You need the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, because we don't know everything we're dealing with an individual. You know, we lay hands on the sick, but you better listen to the Holy Ghost. What's He telling you? What's He saying to you? I know we're dealing with this over times. I've come along with people and dealing with things, and the Lord has told me the person already has, they have a demonic problem. I found this out. Sometimes I can't do anything about it because the person will not let you do anything about it. You can't cast devils out of people who are yielded to them.
Amen.
I've had the Lord tell me in more than one occasion where I asked Him about an individual. I knew there was a demonic power involved with what their medical problem and other problems were. And I had more than one occasion where I went to the Lord about it and said, what about this person? He said, you can't do anything for them because they know what to do and they won't do it. See, sometimes, you know, you can find people you think are really nice, good Christians. See, we don't know people. But that's why the Bible says, know no man after the flesh. Mm-hmm. You don't know what's going on in an individual. Right. You know, a person can seem the most holy, you know, and seems wonderful, may not be. And the person you might think is a problem is more holy than the ones that you think are. And so you need to get over, we need to be led by the Spirit. If we're going to deal with these areas, now I want you to get this. We're not trying to magnify the devil at all. But the church, now when I came into the kingdom, I would hear them say this all the time. Well, don't talk much about the devil. Well, we got so good at that they don't even teach about it today.
Amen.
And he rules and reigns. Right now in America, he's ruling and reigning.
Mm-hmm. Preach.
I don't care what you tell these preachers if they're making nice faith confessions, but they better get real. Because the devil ain't leaving till we do something about it. God ain't. You can't pray a devil out of a person. Prayer don't cast out devils. You can pray night and day. That's why people just pray and pray and pray lots of times. Don't go nowhere. The reason it don't, because they're having to deal with something demonic and they're not dealing with it. That they're going to have to deal with. That's our job on this side. We cast out devils. God don't. He gave us that authority to cast out devils. We deal. It tells us this, the Christian. James wrote, he said, resist the devil, he'll flee from you. You resist the devil, God don't.
Amen.
You resist him. You can pray about the devils in your life and they'll still be there in the morning when you wake up. They ain't leaving. They ain't going nowhere. You're going to have to do it. If the devil's doing, I've had people come, yeah, the devil keeps tormenting me and talking to me. Well, why don't you tell him to shut up?
Amen. Preach.
Say, what are you sitting around? Ooh, he's talking. I said, if you had a person come over and hound you all the time, would you just put up with it? Why don't God do something about it? He don't, because you're dumb. He told you what to do and you won't do it. Hallelujah. See, there's an our part in understanding this. We're dealing down here with the devil down here in this part where we walk at. This is where the church was given authority to deal with this stuff. The church is. Now, one of the things that I will pray to God to ask about, because sometimes dealing with things, I want to know what's going on. And I'll ask the Lord, I want to know, is there a demonic thing? Is there something involved here that I don't know about, why something isn't changing? See, most people don't. This is where the faith people got off. They just think if they just keep making confessions, things will change. Well, there is a truth to that, but there's also a lie to that. You carry that too far. You can turn around and make your confession all you want, but if there's something you have to do or a spirit you have to deal with, that ain't going away because you just keep making your confession. So we need to understand these things. See, there's not much teaching around there out there. In fact, one of the first things the Lord taught me as a Christian was to cast out the devil. It's the first thing He taught me. One of the first things, you know, I wasn't looking for it, but see, I was involved in the area with sorcery before I got born again. I got everything. We could get demons to manifest. You know, this was one of the things that I had a hard time when I come under Christianity because Christians are having a hard time getting God to manifest. And yet, my God, we could get demons to manifest. I thought, well, my words, the same thing you do to get God to manifest is have faith in Him and do it. He'll manifest the same way too. Mm-hmm. Christians don't know much about it. Christianity, getting God to manifest ain't hard to do at all.
Amen. Preach.
It ain't like he don't want to. But see, you're thinking. One of the things we want to get over here is demons many times take control and get a foothold is through getting you into an obsessed way of thinking. Amen. You know, with Kenneth Hagin, when the Lord told him and he wrote, in fact, his first, he had like a 3-book series, a little book, so he had smaller books that he had about dealing with demons. It came when the Lord, he had a vision, and in that vision, the Lord told him with demons and about dealing with them, how demons operate, what they do. One of the things, the first thing that he showed them that demons do is they try to get into your thinking, into your mind. They try to control what you think. See, I've met people already, and what they're trying to get healed, and they can't get healed because they're obsessed in a certain way of thinking that won't allow them to really trust God. They're obsessed. They have certain beliefs that they have and certain things and ways that they think. And if they don't deal with that, if they don't bring that don't stop. They don't deal with those thoughts and bring it under control and tell the devil to get lost and throw that out. That way of thinking will control what they can do. Now, it isn't just healing. It's other things in life.
Amen.
People become obsessed. Today, look across our nation. My God, we got over half of our population is obsessed with demonic thinking about stuff. I mean, just think about this. Our president, now look, this is not knocking. This poor man's not eating a fruitcake. And there's demons behind it. Now, yet we have almost half of America will still vote for him again for president. Now you tell me this is normal? This isn't just about bad people. This is people that are demonically obsessed. And Christians are too dumb to understand it. They're just as obsessed in the way they think. Which does no good. Devil got us thinking in two different directions. We don't know how he works. And we got our little nutty thinking about, which don't change a thing. We're trying to change people without dealing with the devil.
Amen. Amen. Preach.
You know, there's people who will never get saved if a demonic power is not dealt with. It's over them. It's operating and keeping them from Christ. They're demonically obsessed. They're bound. They can't come to the areas of faith because of the way they think. I've seen it already where a person knew they should accept Christ. They said for some reason they couldn't confess Jesus as Lord. And the minister took authority over a spirit over them and they immediately accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. You see, we keep dealing everything in the natural. People ain't listening. We don't listen to the Spirit. We have our own little ideas and our own thoughts that have been put in, and there's a lot of flaky stuff going on. I've learned this over the years. When the Lord told me February of 1980, when the Lord said to me, He said, if you don't learn to be led by the Spirit, you'll amount to nothing as a Christian. You're going to have to learn to listen to the Spirit when you're dealing with these things and people, even with yourself. Do you know when you're being hassled? Now, when the Lord dealt with me about these demonic powers, see, one of the things is I got saved, and Wanda didn't get saved right away, but I got saved. And see, I had let the devil into my house. Now, you need to understand this. I got saved, but the devil didn't leave my house and my property because I got saved.
Amen.
Wow, God's not going to run him off. Why? I let him there. I let the devil there. So the Lord told me, and what happened was Wanda and the kids got sick right after I got born again. And Wanda and the kids were sick. And Wanda's mom stopped, you know, and I'm over there. Now, I had seen this when Elena was born in March. I got born again in January. Elena was born in March. And she was brought her home in the hospital. And it wasn't very long that she was home. And she got sort of like this head cold thing. And this little, you know, you have this little baby in there. And you can tell her nose is stopped up. She can't breathe right. So she can't nurse the bottle because she can't breathe through her nose and stuff. And I'll never forget this. See, I'm just learning about healing. And so lay hands on the sick. And I walked down. And she was in this bassinet in this center room we had. And I had her down there. And I walked down and laid my hand on her. And command her to be healed in the name of Jesus. And she got healed instantaneously. It shocked me. I was like, oh my God. I thought, this stuff works. So I found out this is good. This is a good thing. I found out, man, this stuff works. Well, the devil made Wanda and them sick. And anyhow, and Alyssa was sick and that stuff. And this was a bit later on. And this healing thing ain't working. Well, what's going on? I didn't know. I know this healing thing works, but it ain't working. Why ain't it working? Well, Wanda's mom comes down. I get a revelation. Wanda's mom comes out. She's unsaved. She's not born again. At that time, later on, some years later, she got saved. But she walked in the house, and as soon as she walked in the house, she felt like she had to throw up. And she said this. She said, well, the devil's got this place. Now, I don't know if she understood, which, it's just a saying come out of her mouth. But I heard that, and I thought, I wonder if there's something to this. See, I'm not sick. I'm fine. The devil's attacking them. He's attacking everybody else. Come walking in the door of my house and get sick. And I'm thinking, this ain't natural. You don't walk into a house and immediately get all the flu symptoms if you ever have. That don't happen. I noticed this. Most Christians don't know that at all. They're dumb as a stick. They don't think. The devil's doing something people don't know. So I'm dealing with demonic. And you know what God did? I went to work that day. I was going to work. In fact, second shift. She came over and I'm leaving. And she says this. So I go to work and I'm working at HB Reach Candy Company. And I said the Lord about this. I said about what's going on in my house. And just as clear inside of me, he came up and said, you need to go home and throw the devil out of your home. And I thought, well, that sounds good, but how do you do that? I don't know. How do you do it? See, God didn't say, I'm going to take care of this thing. He said, you need to throw the devil. See, that's my responsibility in my house. Take care of that.
Thank you, Lord.
Most Christians never walk in their authority. You know, if you think you're in charge of your home, about time to act like it.
Amen. Preach. Hallelujah.
And I just want to tell you, God's going to deal with these. But anyhow, so the Lord, so at lunchtime I went down to the locker room and I had a Bible in my locker, and I got it out, and the Lord showed me some scriptures and told me you go home and throw the devil out. So that's the first thing that I did when I went home, and that's what I did. I'm not going to go explain all what happened there, but I threw that devil out. I went in the house and did, and everybody got well. All right.
Amen.
See, that sickness and disease was not something natural going on. Mm-hmm. See, we deal with everything natural today because we're so smart. We went to college. Well, we know this. Colleges are putting idiots out today. They sure ain't got, there are loads of them don't have a clue about what's going on in life. They ain't going to tell you. They're just going to tell you. You know, most doctors can only tell you what they figured out in school and what they heard, and they just pass on. They're like preachers. They pass on just what they heard, never checked it out to find out if it was true. You know, I've asked a doctor over the years. I asked a doctor one time about a certain medication. He wanted one. I said, do you know what the side effects of that medication are? And he said, well, I know it can do this, that. I said, you know that there's almost 60 different side effects that come out of that medication? He said, I didn't know that. And I said, yeah, and you throw it out of people. It's like preachers. They just, what they were told, they'll just throw it out there. Nobody ever checks to find out. Loads of people are dealing with medical problems that are because of their medications. And you go to your doctor, they don't know. They think, well, now you got this other disease. They don't know if you quit taking that medication they told you to get, that one would go away. No, they'll just throw another medication on top of you. Now you get this and that 27 other side effects. You might end up with all that. We get done. You know, the average American my age is taking over 10 medications. And I will guarantee you, over half of their problems are their medications they're taking. Now, I'm not against doctors, but I'm against dummies. And if you're dumb enough never to check anything out, you're in their ballpark.
Amen.
Woo! Good preacher! You ever check out? You're taking medication. Fine. If you have another problem over there, you might want to look and say, hey, well, that's one of the side effects of this thing. You go to the doctor, they'll never talk to you about that. I had a guy years ago who had a heart problem, was in the hospital. And there they could never find out what was wrong with him. So I was just sitting in bed with him, and I asked him, I said, how many medications do you take? And he was over 10 medications. I said, are they ever checking to see you if something's wrong with medication-wise? They had him in the hospital for a good period of time, trying to figure out what was happening. So finally, I said to him, and finally he said something to his doctor. When he left the hospital, he was on two medications.
Praise God.
See, my mama went through that. She had this doctor she thought liked her. He was always so nice to her. He made her so sick for about 5 or 6 years. Giving her medication she never even needed. Because you know what? She thought, you know, that a doctor ought to be able to take every problem in your life, you know, and fix it. And you just give me a pill that'll fix everything in my life. Nobody should ever put a strain on a doctor like that. Their job isn't, you do something about your life. They shouldn't have to, you shouldn't throw it all on them to take care of you. It's just like a cardiologist I had when I had my blood clot took place in my lung. And I said to him, I said, it's not your job to take care of everything about me. I said, there's things I need to take care about in my life. He said, could I have you come in and speak to some of my patients? Believe me, they feel the pressure of lazy people who won't deal with themselves. We could dance to that one, can't we? I'm just saying, we need to let people know this out here. See, we're praying for people you can't help. They're all messed up, want somebody else to fix it. There's things about our life we got to take control of. We have to. See, I learned about that concerning divine healing and things. I learned about that. There's things I must take control of. We're trying to throw everything over here on somebody else, take control of it, and they can't. They can't take control of it. There's so much going on out here. I believe people do as best they can. They might not even be able to do very well at the best they can, but the best they can, they do. But it might not be exactly what needs to be done, and you need to get over on that. I tell you what, there's one thing. I can cast all my care on the Lord. He cares for me.
Hallelujah.
Ain't nothing He don't know.
Amen.
I can expect a lot out of Him, but I'm not over asking. If people put as much pressure on the Lord as they do the doctor, people would be a lot healthier. I'm just serious. Hallelujah. Why is this like it is? It is deception. Satan has gotten into our government, into our systems of everything, to where you watch TV and everything, and it slowly puts things into you. Whether you realize that, you get dependent on somebody else, take care of this, somebody else take care of that, somebody else. And what happens here? People talk about, I'm trusting the Lord. I've had this all the time. I've done funerals of people who insisted they were trusting God, and I knew they weren't. I knew they weren't. All their trust was in what the doctor could do. As soon as the doctor said they couldn't do anything, they were finished. How does that happen? They get deceived in their thinking. They're deceived in the way. They believe that they're operating in faith when they're not. They're in deception. You can't stay close to the Word of God. You won't get deceived about whether you're in faith or not. You'll know you're in faith or not if you stay with the Word. I don't care what somebody else says about it. Number one, I want to know what the Bible says.
Amen.
I always appreciate Kenneth Hagin because he always said, no matter what I say, you look in the Bible, see if it's true.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. It doesn't matter what I preach here. If you don't go look at the Scriptures after a while and go do it, you're the problem.
Amen. Preach.
You know, I've heard people say, well, pastor said this. It don't matter what I said. Amen. Tell people what the Bible said.
Amen. Yes, that's right. Thank you, Lord.
Faith comes by hearing the Word. Now, people go around quoting everybody else and everything else. We don't want to go there. But we don't want to get deceived. Now, we don't want to get over, we're just, demon conscious all the time. We want to be God conscious.
Amen.
Dealing it. You want to stay over in the Word, but yet we have to deal with the areas of demonic powers and what they do. Now, Peter, talking to Cornelius in Acts 10:38, a very familiar scripture, he said how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed of the devil because God was with him. Peter said, sickness and disease is demonic oppression. Do you think he lied? Now, that doesn't mean that a devil's behind each one, but sickness and disease came from that kingdom. Sickness is an oppressor. It's not a teacher. It's an oppressor. Sickness is oppression. See, if you don't If you don't hate sickness as much as you don't like homosexuality, you're weak in your faith.
Amen.
See, we have things that we hate, but we don't hate sickness. We coddle it. That's the American way of life. If you get sick, you go to the hospital, send me cards, give me flowers, give me a lot of attention. Yeah. Glory to God. Don't send nothing. I ain't going to be around long enough to do it. You said it. I'll be gone before it gets there. Just... You got to get yourself. We got to pick up. See, you understand how you think. We don't look as sickness and disease as being demonic in its source. We don't look at it. We treat it. See, and this is a way we have been taught. Wanda and I know for a fact for this. Wanda and I, when we first got saved in that stuff, and we were, maybe about a year or two, something like that. We got involved with the worship center, which was down in Leola at that time, and they were doing a children's crusade. So we got involved in helping the crusade. And what they did, they gave, like, each couple had a number of kids that were under you that you sort of looked after during this crusade. This way they could keep track of kids and nobody wanders off anywhere, because they probably had about 500 kids there in that place during this thing. But anyhow, the guy who was doing the speaking, he was a Rhema graduate who lived down near Philadelphia. He had a children's ministry and he was really excellent at it. But he was up talking about one of the things he dealt with kids, like the first session he dealt with kids when they had the thing was dealing with them about salvation. And got kids, saved. Then he dealt with kids about the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He got kids filled with the Holy Ghost. And then another session, he's dealing with sickness. And he makes his statement. This little girl is sitting beside me. And he makes this statement. He says, he said, nobody wants to be sick. She said to me, I do. I said, you do? Why? She said, when I get sick, my parents buy me gifts. Now, she's coming out of a spirit-filled family. It's the wrong spirit they're filled with. See, they got demonic oppression and don't even know it. They have been deceived and they have deceived their child. Their child got deceived by their parents not listening to the Bible.
Amen. Preach.
And teach it. If you get sick, you get taken care of things. You're gonna get a prize. See, we do these kind of things. Why don't we get mad about it? You know, I never forget, Alyssa was just little. And, we were playing in our living room at that time of the house we lived in Lebanon. And we're playing around and, we were just sort of rushing around, fooling around. But anyhow, she somehow fell down, I guess like her ankle or something must have turned under or something. And boy, there was just a pop. And she just screamed and she, she is in pain. And she is just crying. I mean, we heard this pop, and I thought, so, but here's one thing. I want you to get a hold of this. I heard Kenneth Hagin say this, and I've learned it is true. If you have true faith, when opposition comes, it only makes you stronger.
Amen.
I have found it time and time again. Because, when that happened to her, what it did? It made me mad. That opposition, I grabbed Alyssa up by her arms on either side, sort of stood her up, and I said, devil, you ain't breaking my daughter's ankle. Be healed in the name of Jesus. And it, like that, she started walking, and all the pain left.
Praise God.
But see, when opposition came, what happened? See, when you're in trouble, what you've been putting into you has coming up. If you've been just hanging around other people, always putting stuff into you, when bad time comes, that's what's going to come up in you. If you've been putting mashed potatoes in your toothpaste thing, that's what's going to come out when it's squeezed. Whatever you're squeezed, what you have in you comes out.
Amen.
The first thing that happens to me when I feel this comes, I don't get mad. I don't like it. I ain't putting up with it. The first thing that happens to me. Why? Because I put it in over the years. You squeeze me, that's what has sickness squeezes me, that's what comes out. We ain't going there. We ain't playing this game. That's what comes out. That it isn't by chance that has happened. You see, people tolerate sickness. They want it to go, but yet their actions are in toleration of demonic oppression.
That's right.
We need to hate sickness. We need to hate it in other people. We see other people, we shouldn't like it at all. You know, we talk about God is merciful. You know, when somebody else, you know, when our daughter down in Florida, when her mother-in-law just had, you know, a stroke, the thing that I went to the Lord about, I said, Lord, this is your child. This shouldn't be going on in her. I don't want this happening to her. You know? Don't matter what she is or whatever going on. This is God's child. She's born again. This shouldn't be. See, I talk to God because why? I should have compassion like He does. You know, one of the things that we do, like singing a song today, one of the things that said the song talk, it talked about God's power and like His power, His mighty power. And then it says, followed by His grace. I'm sorry. Power, grace don't follow power. Power follows grace. If you don't understand grace, you'll never get to the power thing. Grace. I'll tell you, see, when I went to God about her, I went on the bed of grace. Grace is merciful. Grace is kind. Grace is compassionate. That's my plea to God on the thing. Why? Because His power will come on that basis. Everybody wants His power and they're yelling for power. Man, I want the mercy and compassion of God. Power will follow. And that's what I went. I pleaded to God and I didn't go do some long prayer. I just said, Lord, it isn't right. She needs to be well. This is not good at all. This shouldn't be happening to a saint. You know? And I reminded God about His mercy and about His great compassion and love for His people. And you know, I did that for just a little bit. And I just got inside of me. It's okay. It's all right. It's taken care of. Found out the next day, she's up walking around. She had been, her one side was paralyzed. She couldn't talk. Next day, she's walking around. Hallelujah. Talking and everything. Hallelujah. See, that's power came when we pleaded on God's mercy and His great compassion for people. See, there's a lot we got. People are over here. They're trying to use, you know, natural human sympathy to try to oppose sickness and disease. All that does is make everybody weaker. It makes you weaker and it makes them weaker.
Amen.
They don't need sympathy. They need delivered. And all we got is sympathy. See, we need to come out of this thing. Now, whether you understand that's what the devil wants us to do. He wants to operate out of your fleshly sympathy about things and not deal with them with the grace of God and bring God's power on the scene. We want God's power on the scene. Hallelujah. What did people, the guy comes, a leper, he says, Lord, have mercy on me. And he said, if you're willing, you can make me clean. And Jesus says, sure enough. Hallelujah. So you rely on the mercy of God. God, have mercy. Blind men come. Lord, have mercy on us. The same word, Greek word for mercy is the same one translated compassion. Or you could say mercy or compassion, whatever you say. Have that on you. And you know what? They're really the root of grace of God. That's what His mercy and compassion on people. Jesus saved you because of mercy and compassion, because you were a scumbag.
Amen.
And He saved you out of mercy. He didn't save you out of power. Power saved you, but it only came because of the mercy and compassion of God. That's always on the forefront. Hallelujah. See, and this is one thing, dealing with people, you have to go there. If you're going to deal with devils, you better have compassion and mercy on people. You know, not you're just irritated because, you know, it moves your emotions. You know, they make you unhappy. Can't approach it like that. Go with the mercy and grace of God. Let's approach God on this thing. When we're dealing with these demonic powers, hallelujah. Jesus said Himself, He said, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He said, Jesus came, He said that we might have life and might have it more abundantly. That's why Jesus came. Jesus said the thief, well, does sickness and disease steal? It's a thief. See, that's the way Satan is. Satan is a thief. He steals sickness and disease. Is there any good in it? You know, the scripture tells us in 1 John 1:5, it says, God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. Well, you know, if God's making people sick, well, how many believe that sickness is light? Well, if God don't have any darkness in it, then God ain't making people sick. If God makes people sick, why did Paul tell the church at Corinth, turn a guy over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh? Why would you do that? If God make him sick, turn him over to God. See, we need to get our thinking. We have thinking and really false teaching. And it didn't come from God, but it came from somewhere. Something is getting people to believe things that are wrong.
Amen.
Well, there's two kingdoms in operation. And I know God ain't in the operation of the things of trying to make me sick. There's another kingdom that already is works on that. And see, I have to identify where this stuff comes from. If you don't, you can't stop. You won't stand against the devil if you think it's God. God has a purpose. Listen to something. I like this in Galatians because this is what the Apostle Paul said. And I like this. Apostle Paul wrote in Galatians 2:18, he said, "For if I build again those things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor." Well, let's take that over on God's side. If God's making people sick and healing them, he's a transgressor. In other words, God's a sinner. Mm-hmm. Oh, he's a sinner in most of the church world. He's a sinner. He's making people sick. He has purpose. Jesus went to the cross and was raised from the dead with a purpose. To deliver man from everything. Hallelujah. To redeem man from the curse.
Thank you, Lord.
To redeem man from the curse of the law. Now, there's a very familiar scripture I want us to look at because it'll help us understanding If we're dealing with people, how the Holy Spirit might use us and what He does. We need to understand these things because we have this thing, well, you just pray for the sick. You go over and you say some kind of prayer. And like I said, most of the time people never pray the prayer of faith. They go, oh, God, heal this person, do this, that. That's not the prayer of faith. Prayer of faith is believing God did something about the healing in it. You see, how does all these religious beliefs get there? Well, they didn't come from God. What spirit promotes those things? See, we need to identify this thing. See, if I'm thinking wrong and stuff, I know God has not promoted Ed being dumb. Ed was dumb enough. God didn't have to make me dumber. He's been kindly doing all he can to make me a little brighter. That's, you know, that's what he does. That's how he works. I found that out. He's not working over there trying to get me to stumble around. Hallelujah. I was already doing enough of that. Before I had him, I was doing all the stumbling around. But I want you a familiar scripture in Matthew 8:16-17. I want to show you something that most of the time you don't ever hear people ever talk about or preach from this, is dealing with this. In this familiar scripture that people use concerning healing, and rightfully so. It says Matthew 8:16-17. This was Jesus at Capernaum is ministering. It says, "When evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirit with a word, and healed all who were sick." Then he says this, "That it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, He himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses." Now I want you to see this. See, we took this, our infirmities and sicknesses, we immediately put those two in the categories of healing and something health-wise. They're not. Because we're going to find out. See, if you'd read, this is why you don't build a doctrine just off of one scripture. You don't do that. Because there's one thing that I noticed. Jesus was casting out devils, and he was healing people. And why would a statement only be made about healing? Why would it only be, the devil thing wasn't no big deal? No, we want to find out. Listen to this. If we go over to Luke the 13th chapter, I want you to see this, Luke 13. We're going to start at verse 10 on Luke 13 because we want to look at this, something that's said. Because what we found out, himself, he took the infirmity and he bore the sickness. Look what it says here. And starting in verse 10, it says, "Now he was teaching in one of the synagogues," he said, "on the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity." You see that? She had a spirit. She was in the position she was in because of a spirit of infirmity. In other words, her ailment and what she's dealing with because there was a spirit. That's what she's dealing with. If that spirit, because we want you to see something here, I want you to get this. So there's this spirit of infirmity. He said for 18 years, and was bent over and could in no way raise herself up. He says, when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said to her, "Woman, you are loosed from your infirmity." Now look, listen what he says. You're loosed from your infirmity. She got loosed from the spirit of infirmity, but she ain't healed yet. You don't hear teaching about this stuff. You should to understand how it works, because we find this out. And he laid hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. You see, sometimes demonic powers operating in a person cause physical problems that need to be healed. It isn't just casting out the devil. The person then needs healed. Why, if she was just free, didn't she stand up? And why didn't she just, you know, automatically, and Jesus didn't have to touch her? See, we need to understand this. People many times, especially in ministries, you know, we have this thing, just lay hands on the sick, lay hands on the sick, and we just do that. But we need to learn to listen. What's happening? See, people think, well, a devil was cast out, things going to get straightened out right away. Not necessarily. Sometimes it does. But see, we don't know. We have to, that's why you listen to the Holy Ghost. That's why you listen to the Spirit on what to do. Jesus said, "I don't do anything I don't see the Father do." In other words, He's not ministering. Jesus said, "I don't do this by myself. I don't do this on my own." Why are we running healing on our own? I want to know that. I'm just going to tell you this. This move of the Spirit that has already started, Christians will not enter into it. People who have sat under teaching, under the anointing about healing and aren't listening to the Spirit, they won't enter into it. God has an expectation for us to be able to do some stuff, to yield to things. We should know better. We shouldn't have like the world and, you know, they come in and get saved and don't know stuff going. God will do all kinds of things. But there's an expectation in the church. This is why, you know, Jesus dealing. I might do some teaching on it in this area because God keeps dealing with this thing of telling Israel about it, making statements to Israel about this unbelieving generation. We're in that America right now. America is the unbelieving generation, and it's in the church and even in the Spirit-filled church. Amen. Unbelieving generation. Jesus kept telling them that. He even told His disciples, dealt with them and called it an unbelief. Why do I have to put up with this unbelieving generation? That unbelieving generation didn't follow Him. Very few Jews followed Him. See, if we don't, nothing ever gets changed if we don't identify it. God is, I find revelation, the Word, just jumping out. And if people ain't finding that, it's because they ain't seeking the Word. Because I'll tell you, God wants to reveal and bring to light. He wants it. You can't deal with what's going on in America without getting light. You're not going to deal with it, you know, believing some little old stuff that happened 20 years ago where God did stuff for you in spite of how dumb we were. We ain't going there in this trip. I'm just telling you. It ain't going in this trip. It won't happen. No matter how Jesus loved and healed all those people, most of those people didn't follow Him. He still tells them, He talked to them in parables. Why are you talking parables? So they don't understand. Why? They wouldn't follow Him. They just wanted what He had. Loads of Christians and Spirit-filled people today, they want what God has. I want all the blessings. Tell me about all the blessings. But don't ask me to follow you. Don't you know I'm busy? Don't you know I got a lot going? We haven't got desperate about the age we're in. Amen. We're not desperate. We're not desperate for a change. Oh, we're desperate to complain, but we ain't got a desperate to change. I'm going to tell you what. The way the church is going right now, it ain't going to change. I'm just telling you. There must be changes made. And it's in us.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Say, God, I need to change. I want to be changed in the image of God. You know what? Getting changed in the image of God ain't some easy thing to do.
Amen.
It's going to take some stuff. I know. My flesh says, "You really want to do that? You're just going to take up all this time." Well, listen, my flesh whine. It's going to require something. But see, we're dealing with this. we're living in, you know, I look back over from when I came into the kingdom, and I started to see things at the end of the 80s. That's when I graduated from Rhema in 89. I started to see certain things start to enter in. Into the 90s, things really started getting off base. Things started really going off base on things. I started watching. See, in the 90s, the Lord spoke to me about his desire was to. He said that he had told me this one time. That's probably around 19. It was probably around 1995 around there. He told me that his desire was to bring back the deliverance ministry. In other words, dealing with demons, and that's what his desire was to do. But he said people are going off course with it. See, in the 90s, they started into all this flaky stuff, you know, ministries and things, and people's ideas. You know, they bought out that dumb book. What was it? What was it called? Something in pigs. It was Pigs in a Parlor. I mean, one of the most stupid books you ever seen about dealing with demons. I mean, it was just, I mean, it was a nice demonic piece of written stuff out of a spirit-filled person. People said, they started all this bit, going to meetings, they're going to get, they taught everybody has a devil. Everybody's going, you got to have, and you go to meetings and they would give you paper bags to throw up in. I mean, this stuff was going on back in the 90s. See, people were getting off. They were out here, you know, fighting devils, you know. There's one thing I pray, I don't fight devils. I pray to God. I don't fight devils. I pray God. If I want to know anything about the devil, find out from God. He'll show you what to do to him.
Amen.
You know, now these people, they would actually, ministries, big ministries were renting jets and flying up in the atmosphere. And this, we're going to have to go up there to fight these demons. I mean, all this flaky stuff. They were running around churches, actually handing out people little swords and stuff. We're fighting the devil. God never told me to fight the devil. He told me to throw him out.
Amen.
I didn't have to fight it. I'm a baby Christian and go home and throw the devil out of my house.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for the authority.
This stuff was going on. Then they started this flaky intercession stuff. And it got into weird things of intercession and got these intercession church intercession meetings and that stuff, doing tying people to chairs and you know, praying over them for hours on end. Some churches literally did get ministers got arrested for kidnapping people because of tying them up. There's one Rhema ministry got in a whole bunch of mess. They finally moved out of the United States and they moved down to Brazil. And they got flaky down there too. And, you know, people down there, I don't know if they're around. And I know the husband died. The wife should have, I don't know, by now, if we're lucky, because they had the flakiest beliefs, I mean, of things. They got into all kind of weird stuff and things. They got into all kind of crazy stuff about what it takes out to, you know, I look at Jesus' ministry, and I just sort of get, people, I'm constantly, and over there, when I came into the kingdom, everybody said, you know, we're supposed to be like Jesus. And the first thing that I found out as a young Christian was, the last thing they want you to be is like Jesus.
Amen.
That's the last thing. They're going to criticize you. No, being like Jesus means you're just this nice little cute peachy thing and you just do nice stuff. And everybody else doing ugly, you don't ever say nothing about it. You don't ever, you just go along with everything. This is being like Jesus. I mean, Jesus rebuked his disciples more than once for their unbelief. Boy, you ain't allowed to do that in the church. Be like Jesus? You start acting like Jesus. They'd say, oh, Jesus can do that, but you can't. But I thought we were supposed to be like Jesus. Then they'll come up with another doctrine. Then he make another one up. See, the devil's in the church up to his neck. He's reigning and ruling very well. People by doctrine, they don't go to, hey, let's be like Jesus. I'm like, if you can cast the devil out, have at it. Glory to God. If it makes people nervous, I'll tell you what, they'll be a lot more nervous if he gets to reign and rule anymore. But he's dominating, and the reason he's dominating, we're not dealing with it. We're not seeing what he's doing to people's minds.
Amen.
See, you need to understand this, that people in the world don't even have to yield to the devil on things. Kenneth Hagin, his vision, one of the things he taught, Jesus showed him. He was startled because, see, when Kenneth Hagin got this revelation, the church at that time, they would pray to God to do something about the devil. They didn't cast out devils. This is a spirit-filled church. They didn't cast out the devils. And when he got this revelation, this was a whole new ball game to him. He didn't see this. And the Lord, one of the things he did is the Lord showed him what happens to a Christian, and he showed him an actual Christian person who got over, or ended up, the devil got into their thinking, and eventually they got obsessed with this way of thinking. And after a while, they were oppressed with it. After a while, this Christian ended up being possessed by a devil. And Jenneth Hagin said, do you want me to deal with that devil in that person? And he said, no. He said, they went out and went too far, rejected Christ. See, they got their mind over there to after a while. He said concerning, it was a woman, and he said, she's going to spend eternity in the place of the damned. To me, that's a, I don't want that to happen to nobody.
Amen.
But one thing he did is he showed him how demons get a hold of people, and he showed him with a sinner how Satan brought a thought to a person's mind. And they began to listen to that thought, pay attention to it. And after a while, he said, the person became obsessed with that thought. Mm-hmm. And then when he came possessed, after a while, they opened their mind up for Satan to oppress their mind. And he got into, he wasn't in the person's, from the standpoint in their spirit, but he was dominating their mind. Mm-hmm. Now, you know today some of the flaky stuff and flaky things that people are doing and saying, even in Christianity, nuttier than a fruitcake, people are obsessed. And they have opened the door where their minds are being oppressed by the devil. The devil's running people's thinking. Obvious things that are stupid and dumb and shouldn't be, and people are going along with it. They think it's this way and that way, and yet it's obvious that it's not right. Mm-hmm. What's happened to them? They get obsessed, and you try to deal with them on it? He said that person who was a sinner didn't have to yield to those thoughts. He could tell that, he could say, he could have refused it. See, I don't like the way it's been taught that the fact of, you know, that when man sinned, that Satan dominated him. Well, not from the standpoint. In the earth, man still has authority, whether he's saved or unsaved. I'm just going to tell you this. If the devil could control sinners, whatever they think and do, you would not be alive today. We would not be here.
That's right.
No, because there's plenty of sinners who don't go along with what the devil thinks about certain things. They might be a child of the devil. They're not born of the Spirit. But they're not following everything. They have enough Christians follow what the devil says to have to. They don't have to. There's enough Christians to listen to stupid stuff. But they don't. See, we need to understand that. So me as a believer has no right to act like, you know, well, I just can't help it. If the sinner can resist those things, I have no right to act like, well, you know, the devil's just making me this, the devil's making me. No, he's not. If he's making you, it's because you let him in to make you.
Amen. Preach.
That's right.
And this is one of the things we can't let the devil. This woman here had a spirit of infirmity. Jesus dealt with that spirit of infirmity. She's going to get well. Now he can minister healing to her to straighten her out because that spirit's been dealt with. For 18 years, this spirit's been doing this to her. You need to understand, when a person's dealing, especially, there's sometimes people do certain things that you know that open up the door of the devil to get in. Because lots of times it comes by the way they think. After a while, he's able to oppress their body and cause things to happen. But sometimes, we don't know why it is, and you know, we ain't trying to figure it out. What we want to do is what the Holy Spirit says to do is to show, is deal with the person if you can. If you can deal with that spirit. Because it's important in dealing with a spirit. If that spirit is not dealt with sometimes, that person can't get straightened out. You're going to have to deal with that spirit, and you need to know what it is. One of the things that I found out very helpful that Kenneth Hagin said, I thought was a really good thing, and never thought of it until I heard him talk about it. He said, if you find a person who has a certain disease or something, that medication, doctors can normally give medication that really help that and straighten that, but somehow they don't ever respond to anything. He said, there's a good chance you might be dealing with a demonic power there. See, then that's, you ought to start seeking God and asking God, Lord, why ain't this working? Why isn't this thing, why doesn't nothing work? What should work isn't work. Find out. See, people just go along and they say, well, we're just believing for healing, and they'll go through healing lines. You know, they'll get hands laid on them 490 times. And nothing ever changes. See, a person has to find out. Now, just because a person don't get healed, they may be in a position where they're just not, they never really got into faith. They're not in a position. They're just going trying to get somebody to heal them. They could be in that. You have to find out about where people, this is what I learned to ask God. Why individuals, something don't work. You know, sometimes it's just a person has not developed their faith and they don't develop their faith. They're not believing.
Amen.
See, people can start off in the areas of faith and wander from it. See, this is one thing is you need to get this. I found this, I've often told people this, like say a person going into surgery or something like that. I've said to people already, when you're operated on, if you believe, you know, you say, well, I believe God's going to direct the doctors, blah, 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 all this. I said, when you come out of that operation, I don't care if it don't look like nothing worked and what the doctor says. I said, are you going to believe the doctor or are you going to believe God? I said, you can't be moved by anything that's said. Amen. Faith is not moved by what anybody else says. But see, 99.9% of the time, the person will be moved. The Christian who is spirit-filled will be moved by what that doctor says. Well, the doctor said. Yeah, well, he's God. You know that. Mm. See, if I believe I got healing, I got to believe it going in and coming out.
Amen.
I can't be moved. See, I was dealing with another lady years ago. Had cancer. She had liver cancer. And she started off, I mean, she's believing God. She's doing good. And she'd go to the doctor and they would do their blood tests and that stuff. And her blood things were really improving all the time. She was getting better. But this is what happened. She got so in faith on those blood tests getting better that she went in and had a blood test. And it didn't, in that one, her blood was just a little bit lower. Wasn't real bad. Just, you know, a little lower. She chucked her faith right under the bus. In church, I was standing up in front and she walked in on a Sunday morning and I was standing up front and she walked in the door and just, I'm minding my own business, you know, and I'm just standing up there in front and I'm doing some stuff and the Spirit of God said, she got a bad report, she thinks, from the doctor, says, she's going to die now. He said, you won't turn it around. And I couldn't get her to turn around. See, her faith started off in the right place, but then her faith got in the doctor's report. And when the doctor's report changed, she changed. See, I learned this a long time ago. You know, if I go to the doctor for something, I thank them for what they can do. I don't expect them to be God. Never thought it'd ever happen. Never but one that I thought even had a clue that he might even, you know, be something like God. I never thought it. I don't expect him to take care of everything. I expect my dad to take care of me.
Amen.
He done said he would. If he don't, he's a liar. And my dad ain't a liar. But see, you got to get convinced in these areas. You can't walk around with this flaky feeling, a little bit of that. Yeah, you can sit here and listen to me say this all the time. It may not change your life at all.
Amen.
What are you going to do when you go home? Back to your same old life, doing it the same way you always did? I'll tell you what, I'm going to wear my shoes out dancing. See, the devil, I can't. On Tuesday morning, I had a dream. Over the years, I've had some dreams and stuff. And, you know, I'm not talking about a pizza dream. You know, you go, you ate too much pizza, you go, and because there's one thing. When I have a dream that's come from God, I know when it's going on, I know what's going on. I sort of like, you know, when Paul made statement about a night vision, I would sort of thought, you know, sometimes it's almost like a vision thing that you're seeing. It's when you're sleeping. So I woke up and I looked at the clock when I woke up and it was 6:48. And I thought, well, I'm getting up. And I just, you know, and the first thing I do is when I wake up, I'll talk to the Lord, just, you know, praise him some, and I just, you know, talk to him and appreciate and tell him how much I appreciate him, his love, and how merciful he is and how good he is. And I was just doing that, and I fell back into a sleep. And I fell back into a deep sleep, and I woke up. It was 7:30, but in between that time, I had this dream. And when I woke up, and I'm not going to tell the dream, but what I did, I saw in the dream was this. And people need to get it. One of the things God was trying to bring across, in that dream, there were some drastic things that took place. But yet for people, there was many things that looked like they were all right. Is what the Lord was showing me is people will ignore problems and things and try to act like they don't exist because things are looking good at the time.
Mm-hmm.
People don't see the dangers of things. You know, in this dream, I kept walking, but I kept asking people, did you see such and such happen? They didn't want to even admit that it happened or took place. They, like everything's okay now, we're just going along with this. And I'm going through this dream, I'm thinking, man, this huge change took place and everybody's ignoring it because everything seems okay now. They're not dealing with what happened. And I keep thinking, something else is coming, something else is coming. And they're ignoring this, and if they don't deal with this, that thing's going to come over them. See, we have this tendency, when everything's going nice, we ignore the things. You know, we like to get over and jump on the healing bandwagon when it shows the sickness shows up. But we ain't on the healing bandwagon when everything's going good.
Amen.
We ignore it. We ignore healing. I learned from Kenneth Hagin. He said, he said every day he meditated on healing scriptures. Can you imagine God and his ministry? And he said, every day I meditate on. If healing was a thing in the forefront of Jesus' ministry, you need to understand this. Sickness is in the forefront of the devil's ministry. It is the forefront. Haven't you noticed in America? Our nation is spending trillions on health care and going nowhere. People are getting sicker and sicker. Why? As long as the devil can rule and reign. There ain't a good enough insurance policy. You ain't got a good enough one. The devil will outthink your policy and your insurance company every time. He's going to be running ahead of it. Jesus was into healing, but he's delivering people from the curse that entered this earth because of sin. Yep. And we need to, and you go back, you read that curse. I mean, so much sickness mentioned in that curse. So much bad stuff in there. That's in the forefront of Satan's ministry. You need to understand, he comes to visit you. That is his final intent. Because sickness comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That's what it is.
Amen.
And you need to identify that. The forefront of Jesus' ministry. You've been delivered. Jesus delivered you from all this ugly stuff. So you can have life and you can have it more abundantly. And that's the purpose of it. As the Lord told me back, I wasn't born again maybe 3-4 years. And he told me one day as I was studying some things in the areas of healing, he said, of my people, I want them born again, filled with the Spirit. But he said, the number one thing I want for my people is to be well. He said, my people are sick. He said, the devil steals all their money. They can't give to me. He said, I mean, just think about it. Just think about if you didn't have to pay for no insurances, no nothing, like how much money you'd have in your pocket. All the things. How much money would we have in this nation? Hey, we could talk about paying off national debt.
Amen.
Sickness. He said, I want my people well. He said, the devil steals their money. He said, he steals their health. So he said, they can't do what I want them to do because their health dominates them. So they can't go. They can't go where I want them to go. They can't do what I want them to do. See, and we look at, and what do? We treat sickness like, oh, a person gets sick. You poor thing. Oh, we'll just go lay down and do less. You poor old thing. Christians ain't poor old things. It ain't right. Like when I pray for a Christian, I'm thinking, well, that poor old thing, that's a child of God.
Hallelujah.
See, we need to get smart enough to tell the devil, get his hands off me. You ain't messing with me. Hallelujah.
Amen.
See, you want to be one of those, you wake up in the morning and he says, oh my God, he's awake now. Cheer the Lord. Here we go again.
Amen.
There, God.
Praise God.
Not one of those, my God, he's up, I can torment him all day now. We got another pack. Hey, we got fun with this one. See, if you have thoughts and things that are coming to you that run in you a lot, and they're just negative thoughts about things and stuff, you need to start dealing with that.
Amen. Amen.
You need to deal with them things.
Great preaching.
You need to deal with that stuff. You know, you're standing in faith over here. The devil ain't going to come around and try to cheer you.
Mm-hmm.
You have to learn to cheer yourself. See, I learned to be my own best cheerleader.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
You don't have to be my cheerleader. I'm good at it.
Amen.
I get my pom-poms out, my little skirt, have myself a time. Put on my sneakers and jump around a while. Hallelujah. If you can't get up and shout in the midst of trouble, you ain't got much faith.
Amen. Preach.
Woo! You got to do it. You have to learn to do it. I've learned to be my own best cheerleader. You have to do it. Somebody isn't always around to do it for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we got so many people out in the, they're down in the dumps. Say, hey, who are you going to call to cheer? They're so tied into what's going on politically, they can't cheer. Hallelujah. But you get yourself that you can cheer. You need to have learn how to do that.
Thank you, Lord.
You got to learn how to strengthen yourself in the Lord. You learn how to build yourself up. You get on, man, I think I'm that's wrong. I ain't going under. We're going over.
Amen.
We ain't letting him go on that way. I'm not going to think that way about this thing. You got to get your, hey, there's a, it's called the good fight of faith. It didn't say the good lay back and rest faith.
Amen. Preach.
The biggest fight about faith is controlling your thought.
Mm-hmm.
And the biggest thing the devil will do is try to take your thought. That's the biggest thing that he'll do. And he has been allowed to get away with it and allowed to get away with it. And people make confessions but never change their thinking. Confession's no good without change. Your thinking will dominate. You'll end up yielding to it. You'll end up yielding. That think dominate. Don't let him do that to you.
Amen.
You know? As I found this over the years, you get people who miss the mark with God. They confess their sin, but still walk around for years feeling bad about what they did. They don't stop and say, God forgave me. Devil, you ain't taunting me with this thing. God forgave me. I'm forgiven. It don't exist.
Amen. Praise God.
So I heard one minister talk about where he did a certain thing and he asked the Lord to forgive him. And then a certain thing happened and he went to the Lord about it and he sort of complained, well, Lord, I know I messed up over here and I did this. And the Lord said, what are you talking about? He said, over here where I messed up and did that. The Lord said, what are you talking about? He said, well, you know. He said, no, I don't. I don't know. See, it finally dawned upon him. Oh, God forgave me. He forgot about that. Here I am dragging around. I'm just telling you, even the devil ain't always your worst problem.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. See, we talk about God so forgiving, and then we treat it like he didn't forgive us. Then we carry it around. See, like I got said, here I was carrying that around. God wouldn't even talk to him about it. He goes, well, you know, Lord, you know that. I don't know how God does that, but he can forget things he can't remember. Boy, don't you wish you could do
Thank
that more
Lord.
Often. But I tell you what, I believe we can put that trait on. See, I believe we can. I believe we can put that on. Hallelujah. See, you want to learn to put that trait on because people do things to you and you want to learn how to forget it. You want to learn how to forget it. If you don't learn how to forget it, the devil will come and visit you about that. Remember what they did to you. Remember what they did to you. You know how they treated you. Oh, yeah. I know you guys never deal with that stuff. It's just me. I know. But I go through some of those things sometimes.
Amen.
Did you see what they did? See, no, I'm getting blind today. Hallelujah. I got to see that. I'm blind to those things. I don't want to let that dominate me and rule me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, you know, we want to walk in the light of these things. We don't want to get over into the flaky. People are getting over too much into the areas of here what we don't realize. It's deception that comes in. How do these thoughts come? People are accepting them. Where are they coming from? See, you don't want your mind to let the devil turn into your mind into the thing where you are generating now bad thoughts. You're generating them. You don't want to go to that place. And that's what he does. He gets people where they start to generate him because he's put enough in there and he's controlling. And after a while, you're just sort of negative. You get over to certain areas and you're just negative over in that area. And then you talk about that's where you'll need the areas of, you'll need faith, and you'll talk about faith, but you can't go there. Because you have all these negative thoughts concerning some things over in that area, and they're there, and you go through the faith motions, but there's no faith involved. So you don't want to do that. You always want to. This is why you need to listen, you know, to the Holy Spirit and ministering to people. We're going to go on more and more in this teaching in people in these areas. Well, you know, let me just finish over here in Luke, though. I want to go back there to Luke 13 and read to you. We found out that the rulers of the synagogue answered with indignation to Jesus in verse 14 because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath. And he said to the crowd, they said to the crowd, there are 6 days on which men ought to work. Therefore, come and be healed on them and not on the Sabbath. Now, I want you to understand this. Why did they always deal with healing on the Sabbath? It is for this reason. They had dedicated healing to doctors. They did. Israel had themselves a healing covenant. Then when Jesus showed up, they didn't walk in it. Many spirit-filled people today no longer walk in the healing covenant. Although they say we believe in healing and all this kind of stuff, but they don't walking in the covenant on it. They're not walking. See, people are dedicated to the doctors today. We have dedicated much of what we call faith and healing to the doctors. And if the doctor can't do nothing, most people die. See, I had the Lord talk to me, and you know, concerning an individual who's going through it, and he said to me, he said, "Now, you know, get a spirit-filled Christian." But he said, they can't have any more than a doctor can give them, because all they're doing is following after the doctor. Whatever the doctor. They're not moving in anything beyond. Now, you talk to the individual, they would go through the faith thing. Talk about faith. Well, it didn't work for him. You only have what the doctor can give. See, you have to find out whether you're in faith or not, whether you're trusting. You gotta sit and identify what you're really believing. Is my faith really in God, or am I really believing? You know, it's like a woman. This goes back years. It goes back into the early. That was in the early 90s. This lady who had multiple sclerosis, and. She would attend a morning teaching that I was doing. It was on a morning teaching and that stuff. I was doing on the areas of doing, and we were teaching on the areas of healing because different people were attending. And that's when Larry White was there. He had MS and different things like that. And this woman said, "Well, they talk about anointing with oil." She said, "Oh, anointing with oil. That was given medicine." She said, "I believe God's going to find a cure for MS and that stuff, and God, I'll get healed that way. I believe it." And I just looked at her, and I knew by the Holy Spirit, and I said, "You'll die before that happens." And she did. See, she got to believe. See, she wasn't believing God could heal. She acted like that was a type of faith, and it wasn't. I'm believing men are going to get me out of this thing. Man, there's people who've been waiting for a lot of years for cures for cancer. How as well is it gone? I mean, surely we have a lot less cancer than we did. I mean, I thank God what doctors can do. I appreciate what they can do. But you know, I want to just tell you this, cancer treatment, like people go over and doing chemotherapy, you know, thank God there's people who are alive because of chemotherapy, but many people take chemotherapy, end up having other medical problems because of chemotherapy, and for the rest of their life, they're messed up. You know, a guy, his heart turned around, and they killed his heart, and he had to have a heart transplant. And he had, you know, all those things going on. And it's like, I like getting Jesus involved. I really would. We need to get overthinking about things and thinking about stuff, what happens to people. This is why, you know, if you can't go to the doctor by faith, you're in trouble. Do you have faith about taking chemotherapy? You better get some faith about taking chemotherapy. If you're going to do anything, you need to get in faith. Hallelujah. You need to be something off of your lips of how you're going to turn out. I don't care what the doctor says. You got to get over. You don't care what the doctor says. You're in faith. Hallelujah. Amen. This is the direction. This is going to turn out this way for me. Mm-hmm. People don't use their faith. Well, the doctor said, "I'm having problems. You know, we're going through this, but I'm having trouble." That's what the doctor said. So what do you care what the doctor said? Is he God? Amen. Yeah, he's God. He said. You know, doctors tell us just what they know and they see going on. But I have eyes for something else.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
And we have to have that.
Praise God.
So you need to call your results out. Mm-hmm. What are you heading toward? What are you going toward? This is how it's going to turn out for me. This is where I'm going. Amen. They'll do what they want. No matter how it goes, we're going to turn out over here. This is where we're going to. I've seen people over the areas that didn't seem so bad ended up and died. Wouldn't use their faith. I've seen people were so messed up you thought there's no way they could live. They believed God and lived and turned out fine. You learn to use faith.
Uh-huh.
Get yourself into that. See, they got away from this. They put everything over into the hands of the doctor. So see, healing's work. You know, this is work over here. Well, healing is work today, most because we put it all over to the medical field. We threw everything over. They did in a simple way. You know, we don't mind the medical field working in any day of the week, and we need to because we probably have more sickness than they did back then. And they work every day of the week. I'm not criticizing. Thank God for what doctors can do. But you've got to learn to use your faith going to the doctor. Most people go to the doctor, find out what's going on, and decide what they're going to believe. I already know what I'm believing before I ever went.
That's right.
What he tells me, hallelujah, does I already know what I'm believing.
Amen.
I'm going to live and not die. You know, you go to the, people going and then they said, you know, like I heard say, you know, you need to find out from a doctor what's wrong with you so you can wisely believe God. Why? If I don't have a doctor, I can't believe God. If I'm out here in the wilderness somewhere hurting and we don't have a doctor, so I can't believe right to know what's wrong with me or why I'm out here laid out sick. So I'm going to need to hear from a doctor so I can rightly believe how to get well. More demonic ideas and thoughts that have been put into people's minds. And you know what? I've heard all the major ministers say that stuff. Oh, yeah. I've heard them all say it. Well, you know, so you can rightly believe what's wrong with you and what's happening. God don't know. So what they do, what they don't realize that they're doing, the doctor's up here. I can't believe God till doctor speaks. We've done the same thing that they've done, just done it in a different way. See, we need to be careful in these areas about the deception that comes, that robs and steals and controls people, where people can't believe God. You want to get over where you can believe God. Assume it's something else. You need to walk. The Bible says we walk by faith. It don't say you start faith when you get to the doctor and find out. It's our walk, our way of life. Well, Jesus was smart enough in their answer. He answered the hypocrites. He said, the Lord answered and said to him, hypocrite, does not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or donkey from the stall and lead it away to water? He said, so ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound, think of it, for 18 years, be loose from this bond on the Sabbath. What was Jesus' answer? Well, you know, sometimes things just happen. He said, no. See, your covenant. If you have a hard time standing in faith, you don't know your covenant.
Amen.
Jesus knew the covenant. He said, this shouldn't have happened. This is a covenant woman. This shouldn't have never happened to her. There was nobody to bring deliverance to her because they didn't teach healing. Healing was at the doctor, is at the hospital. That's where the healing was. They had nobody to teach them that she was there, and they didn't do it. Jesus came along casting out devils. They didn't like it. Jesus came along healing the sick. They didn't like it. And they don't today either. They don't like it. Loads of people don't like it. Loads of them. I hear ministers, people in their own congregations get healed, but they don't believe God heals all the time. Well, I don't believe this is from God, you know, this, you know, that God down there laying hands on the sick. He's a faith healer. Well, you'd have hated Jesus too. He's a faith healer. Is there any other kind? I said, no, they like the doctor. There's no faith in it. Those ministers will run right to the doctor, tell them God makes you sick for a reason, and they go in sin to the doctor to get God's will off their life. We need to get bold talking about this stuff because people are bound out of here and they don't need to hear no more of this nonsense coming out of the mouths of people. And we need to rebuke these so-called elders and leaders that are a bunch of bunk and junk keeping people in bondage just like that dear woman 18 years held bound because the leadership were a bunch of morons. They aren't teaching faith. We need to get upset about this stuff.
Amen.
God wants people to rise up. I'm going to tell you, the true prophets in these last days ain't going to be these weeny whiners things we got now.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, they're going to sting people. They're going to make a lot of these money boys uncomfortable. they might call some judgment down. We need to get around. See, we need to get tired of this stuff.
Amen.
People out here, we need to tell them. They go to churches. They know that God wants to heal. But they go to churches, don't you? Because they like being with their friends and everything else and all their, and then when they get sick, they will call, "Would you pray for me?" I tell them, go to your pastor. Well, they don't believe like I do. What are you doing there in unbelief? What are you doing there where they don't
Amen.
Teach you? And then you come along and want me to wave the wand. I tell people, I ain't waving the wand. You need to come and sit down and listen to teaching. The reason you're sick is because you have no faith.
Amen.
And you don't know who or what to get a hold of. I can't go to my leaders to get it because they don't go along with that. Have the nerve to tell you that. See, I'm in disobedience going to the church I ain't supposed to be in. And I'm sitting over here with this. And I come over here, wave the wand. You say, no, the devil got your wand. We don't deal with none of this stuff. No, we just keep patting and petting. Nobody gets healed. Nobody gets delivered. We don't care. We're doing nice. We're nice Christians. We're just cute people. I'm tired of the cute.
Amen.
People need delivered.
Amen.
People need set free. And we need to preach a gospel that sets men free. God said, if anybody say anything different, they're a liar.
Amen.
That's right. God's a deliverer. That's His business. That's what He's in. He's in the salvation of the whole man, spirit, soul, and body. That's our God.
Amen.
The rest of this junk preach is junk.
Thank you, Lord.
This is who He is.
Amen.
They don't know God. They talk about knowing God. Don't know if He's good or not. Not sure. You know? Well, you know, I mean, you ever think the gospel, I've heard this numbers of times from people. Well, you know, yeah, Jesus saves, but you know, we're always just going to sin. Could you imagine a gospel you're always going to sin? Grace is so weak that the outcome of grace in a man's life is you're just going to sin. I mean, how on earth did any moron ever read the Bible and could come up with that kind of concoction?
That's right.
See, they call that gospel? That's devil preaching. That is a doctrine of the devil that keeps people in bondage. The sin's going to always dominate me. How are you going to figure God's going to have you, oh, ain't going to heal you, do anything good for you? Because I just sin all the time. I'm just a sinner. They don't read there where that dear woman, Jesus said, this ain't right. This is a covenant girl. She shouldn't be in this. 18 years should have never happened. No, you're just going to sin and be faithless. If you believe you're sinning, you can't be a person of faith.
Amen.
You won't trust God if you believe you're doing wrong. If you believe you're no good, you're not going to say, well, I have great confidence in God. Yeah. I mean, think about this. James. Now, James will sting you in some places when you read it. But listen what James says. James says, call for the elders of church, they'll anoint you with the oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will heal the sick. And if they commit any sin, He'll forgive it. You're just going to sin. Like God's going to be mad. No, He said, come on down, get them both fixed at the same time. get healed and cleansed of your unrighteousness and glorify God. Hallelujah. That's James' answer. I like James' answer. I ain't going to number two. I'm going to take James. James is right. Hallelujah.
Amen.
If you missed it, He'll clean you up and heal you. Hallelujah.
Ooh.
That's what He'll do.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Get this stink in your mind. You only ever think it's God's good. Every good and perfect gift comes down from above. It says every good and perfect gift. It don't say some good. It says every good thing. You know, if anything good's on this life, it came from God. Anything that ain't good, we know where it came from. At least I do. Most of the church world, I don't know if they know or not. But every good and perfect gift comes down from above.
Hallelujah.
Now it says this, God, there is no shadow of turning. There's not even a shadow that something bad could come from Him.
Amen.
My God, they don't have a shadow. Dear Lord, I mean today it ain't about shadow. They believe God sends good, but He'll probably send a lot of ugly. He says, not even a shadow of change in Him. All's God, God is good. I'm just going to tell you this. If you believe God's making people sick, and He does that, there will be sickness in your heaven. Because that's your God. Your God is a people. Because why? How could you, if that's what he does, you think God changes not? Is God going to be different when we go to heaven than he is here? He's going to teach you because, hey, he's going to have to teach you. You think you're going to get to heaven just know everything instantly? You got a brain this big if you do. I mean, you ain't got enough brain to even, you probably about 4 cells. We get to heaven, we're going to have to learn a little bit, you know? We get to heaven, we're going to, what, is God going to make you sick so he can teach you something? Hmm. I tell people this. I said, if I made one of my children sick, and I did it on purpose, they would lock me up in jail. I said, we going around and preach God makes people sick, his children sick. I said, if they're what they're saying is true, our government is better than God. Follow it. Don't follow God. We lock people up. We call it doing evil to make somebody sick. And then we tell people God makes you sick because he loves you. Now, I went to court and told him, I made my kids sick because I love them. I'm sure the judge would fall for it right away. I'm sure he would say. Yet people put money in offering plates for people to talk that stupid junk to them. Don't be surprised you don't ever get no money back in that church. You can't pay idiots who preach lies about God and God's going to bless it. One thing the devil will, he'll find you some money so you can keep paying that idiot. But you ain't getting it from God. You don't pay the demon possessed and turn around and think God's going to bless it. See, I'm bold about this stuff because I'm just downright fed up.
Hallelujah.
I'm fed up with the weenie healing ministries of today. I'm fed up with it. It's like, no, we're trying to have healing meetings without the word. We got to get the word in people so people can rise up. There's got to be people who will preach the truth. We got to get people in ministry who believe enough can sit in a meeting to help the Holy Spirit in doing the work in there. Where they're believing right and can take the sinner and the Christian that don't know about this stuff, help them get healed. We need it desperately.
Amen.
Today, the Christians are sitting in the healing meetings trying to get healed. The sinners can't get in because it's filled with the Christians. Because they don't know how to believe. And the Christians are sitting there in the meetings. But they don't know if God wants to heal them or not. They don't. Well, you know, hopefully that guy will lay hands on me and something will happen. But I'm not mad at them. That's what they're told. This is what they're taught. What do we expect them? They ain't in faith helping increase the corporate faith in that place so people can get delivered. They're just trying to get by. Man, I want to be somebody that can help God do what he's doing.
Amen.
Not in there, but he's trying to drag me along. This is why these things need to be taught and people need to be told about these things. You need to come convince God wants you well. And if things ain't working, well, stop asking God why.
Amen.
You know? There's no shame in finding out. It's a shame that if you don't.
Amen.
I have hated it doing funerals for people that couldn't get healed, and I knew why they couldn't, and they wouldn't listen to you. They won't listen. Why? Because they're over in this thing. Well, I believe so-and-so said. I don't care what so-and-so. What the Bible say?
Amen.
Oh, but so-and-so. Oh, this is what they teach and they say. And yeah, well, good. Have at it. If it don't produce an outcome, it ain't right.
Amen.
See, I see people come along with this. Whether it gets over in the areas of diet, God gave us a certain diet. Well, they eat the diet. Said, you get healed? No, I didn't get healed, but God gave me that. God gave you a diet and it didn't work?
Mm.
I don't know that God. Mm. I'm sorry. I don't know him.
Amen.
God don't tell you to do something and, well, it never works. It's just, but well, we're doing it and God gave you. Yeah, I know a God gave it to you, but it wasn't the God of heaven. It wasn't my God. Is it God of this world gets you over onto something? You know, Jesus talked about people in their bellies, following the things of the natural, in their eating and stuff. See, we're doing it. We're trying to get healing through the food today. Call it faith in Jesus. Well, I eat chicken that don't have hormones in it. Well, I'm going to tell you, chickens do have hormones naturally. So there are hormones in chicken. So you believe that, you're stupid. And number one, do you know chicken cannot be sold in America if they're injecting with hormones? Did you know that? No, you believe the lie. You watch the thing and you just take, oh, our chickens don't have hormones. See, within a certain time period, a chicken, before it is sold, they ain't allowed to inject it with nothing. So everything's out of its system. You didn't know that, did you? Why? Because nobody ever looked. We always say, well, I'm buying his chicken because they don't have hormones. Yeah. Well, I'm sorry, all meat has hormones in it. I just, naturally. You eat a piece of beef, there are some hormones. And I like them. They taste good. You grill a good steak and give me the hormones. You see, I'm inquisitive. I want to know when people say stuff whether it's true. See, we live in the world of a lie. And most people consider them smart educationally. They ain't smart educationally. They don't know nothing. They don't question nothing. Somebody said. Amen. That's right. It's right because they said. There's one guy, when he says, is right.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
You may contradict him, but he's right.
Amen.
You may not like it, but he's right.
Amen.
And this is what I found. The things I've learned and taught by him, they actually work.
Amen.
They work. Hallelujah. He's the most wonderful doctor I've ever had.
Amen.
He has saved my life in more than one time.
Wow.
He did.
Hallelujah.
Even doctors didn't know why. It's like one doctor said, and I went in, they saw me and said, you're still here. I smiled and said, I wasn't going nowhere. I wasn't going nowhere. I'm still here. Hallelujah. You're still here.
Amen.
While you're still here, fight the good fight of faith. Stand up.
Amen.
Get bold about God and you, what He'll do for you. Get bold.
Amen.
Be as bold as a lion. Get so bold about what He will do for you.
Amen.
Get it on your lips. You're not going to really change your mind until you get it on your mouth. You start to take those thoughts, God, start to get on your mouth what God will do for you.
Amen.
See, when I look at these people like that, you take a woman who's a nobody. And Jesus said, this should not have happened to her. This shouldn't have gone on for 18 years. Wouldn't it be right on the Sabbath day she gets well? What, you guys are arguing this thing? There's ministers out here today. I'm just telling you, Spirit-filled ministers. They don't care if you get healed. They don't care. You know, just as long as you glorify me. As long as you look and believe in my direction. It doesn't matter that you believe God. Hallelujah. You trust Him. He's the one. I can't take care of you. But darn, He can. Hallelujah. He can take care of you. And you get over and believe. If He would do that, He thought it was wrong for her to be bound 18 years. Would it be wrong for you?
Yes,
that was a daughter of Abraham. Who are you a child of?
The Most High God.
Was Abraham better? Boy, we ought to get over and we ought to be bragging about our daddy. Oh, my. Bragging about our daddy. Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. What a daddy we have. What a father we have. What a covenant He made with you. You're a child of God. Hallelujah. He has nothing but plans of good for you. That's what He planned out. Jesus Christ came in the covenant. God loved you so much. He didn't make a covenant with you. He made a covenant between God for you. God came, carried out. God came and became a man. God walked down as a man to fulfill a covenant the Father wanted you to have. And when you and I, just by stupid, in our little meanie minds, believed that it was true and you accepted Christ,
amen,
that covenant that God made with God became your covenant.
Amen.
All the good He planned in Christ Jesus now belongs to you. The same inheritance Jesus Christ has belongs to you today. We have an inheritance. We have the same inheritance. We got Christ, the Bible tells us we have Christ's inheritance.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Do you think heaven had anything bad for Him?
No.
Woo, no, it didn't. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, does heaven have something there bad for you?
No.
Every good and perfect gift. Oh, but my, think of all the good and perfect things. Mm. Hey, they're for you.
Amen.
Hallelujah. That's what heaven has stored up for you. That's what heaven said. This is what I want to send you. I got some good and some perfect. You know, Jesus went about doing good and healing. See, healing's a good thing. See, I know God wants me to have healing because every good and perfect gift comes down from above. I know healing comes from above.
Amen.
I know that because Jesus went about doing good and healing. Hallelujah. I tell you, get your good today. If you're here today, you claim your good. You take it. It says, it belongs to me. God, I ain't trying to get you to heal me. Hallelujah. It belongs to me. You give it to me. Hallelujah. It's mine. Hallelujah. My body, talk to your body and tell that stupid thing it has to get in line. Tell devil, you can say what you want and do what you want. It don't matter. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm free in the name of Jesus. I've been redeemed from the curse of the law. You know, don't ever talk nice to the devil. Treat him like the dirt he is.
Amen.
Woo!
Hey, him and the snake are eating the dust.
Amen.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Treat him as such. Glory to God. You need good, you tell God that, hey, you send a good, oh my God, you're good, perfect, hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Find out what the scripture says, claim it, this belongs to me, it's mine. The covenant says it belongs to mine. And I shouldn't have been doing without it. It belongs to me and I'm taking it now. You may find out certain things today. I know as I went along, I found out certain things I could have had, but I didn't know about. But hallelujah, I know about them today, and I can have them. Hallelujah. And I say, you know what? We ain't going to go for 18 years. Hallelujah. We're not going to do that. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The devil is not going to bind me up where I can't receive the things of God. Hallelujah. Father, I just want to thank you. I thank you for your children. I thank you, Lord God, just as that one. She's a daughter of Abraham. These people here today, these are your kids. These are the ones that belong to you. And I thank you, Lord God, for all the good that you have planned for them. All the good things, Lord God, that you have put in this covenant that belong to them, Lord God. Lord God, there ain't no curse in their life. They're not cursed. They're blessed. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, under the old covenant concerning Israel, Father, you said, how could you curse the blessed? And I want to tell you, how can you curse the blessed? These are the blessed of God, and they are not cursed. Hallelujah. They're redeemed from every curse, every ugly thing. Hallelujah. And there's only good that you provided for them. There's only perfect that you have. And you're not changing in how you're doing it today. Father, I thank you, Lord God. When they go to the Word, the light's going to shine out on them. Hallelujah. They're going to see and understand and comprehend. I'm glad the light's going to show, and they're going to walk into a greater freedom than they've ever lived or walked in. Hallelujah. They're going to know you like they have never known you before. Their love for you is going to outshine everything that shines in this earth. The sun's brightness will be nothing to the glory revealed in them in the name of Jesus Christ. I thank you, Father. Father, you have wonderful plans for them, and I thank you, Lord God, you're going to fulfill it in the name of Jesus. You don't have ugly for them. You have nothing but good. Hallelujah. And I thank you, Father God, you're the God that heals all of our diseases in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Father. Father, I thank you. You're the one that blesses us. Hallelujah. Lord God, that we're the head and not the tail. We're above and not beneath. We're blessed going in, coming out. Hallelujah. However it goes, we are blessed. Hallelujah. I thank you, Lord God. We don't chase money. Money chases us. Hallelujah. We're blessed. We're given. It's given unto us. Pressed down, shaken together, running over. Men are just looking to give to us. Hallelujah. People are looking to bless us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I thank you, Lord, they'll come from the north, the south, and the east, and the west. They will come to bring blessing. Hallelujah. Lord God, because we're a blessing. Hallelujah. And we're going to bless people to the north, to the south, and to the east, and to the west. The blessing of God, the healing power of God will go forth in the name of Jesus. Many will be delivered, set free. Hallelujah. By the glory of God. And we thank you for it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, it's good to get an anointing to pray. That's when it's hallelujah. Sometimes you pray, it's dry, and sometimes the anointing comes, and I'll tell you, it's fun when the anointing comes. Hallelujah. But I want to tell you, you say you need to learn to pray till you get the anointing on you.
Amen.
You know why? Because there's things that God will bring to pass by the spirit of prophecy, praying with the anointing. It will. There's things that will just come to pass and spark the work. And you know what? It ain't just for the preacher.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. When I first got born again, I used to do this in my bedroom. The anointing would come on me to pray, and I'd get up and say the craziest things, and I'd think, my God, Am I just weird or what? Is this going on in here? Because I'm saying all this stuff and I'm thinking, you know, because I didn't know as much about the Word then. But I found out, my God, this stuff's true. It's in the Bible. It's in the Bible. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory. Well, I tell you, if you don't have a good week, it's your own fault.
Amen.
I ain't saying nothing will happen, but you need to look and smile and say, praise God has good for me. He has perfect for me. It's all going to be justified in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah.